Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brock, founder of Homeopathy World Community, taking time out in the day to begin with some inspiration to talk a bit about current events and what's happening on the Homeopathy World Community Network, and to read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is September 7th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 89. Thank you for joining me. We're going to begin with two short inspirations. One is a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, and he says, "You can never do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late." So this tells me action is very important. The next inspiration is really a long blog that I found yesterday as I was on Twitter. And there was a person, Linda, who wrote a blog, "Unplug Occasionally for a Deeper Sense of Peace and a Quieter Mind." So here's what she said, and she has given me permission to read it to you today. "Do you feel peaceful and relaxed while you're on your computer, iPad, smartphone, etc.? Are you really in the moment when you're plugged into some type of technology? I spend quite a bit of time on the computer doing online marketing, social media updates, writing the blog, and keeping up with email. I don't really think about how much time until I get away from it for a while. When I first thought about writing this post," she says, "I was thinking about different articles I've read lately pertaining to technology and stress. I had planned to link with at least a couple to give you additional information, and then I realized that all I really wanted to do right now was to talk with you from my heart. Anything we do to extremes creates stress. Technology is meant to serve us, but when we spend too much time on it, it creates its own stress. It intrudes on the time that we could be out getting some exercise and enjoying nature, or spending quality time with the ones we love, or even just sitting quietly in meditation or thoughtful contemplation. There are so many activities that enrich our lives and have nothing to do with technology. Each day there are many opportunities to unplug and connect with life. This morning, my husband and I stood looking out at our kitchen window watching the hummingbirds flitting around the feeder nearby, and then one of them landed on a tall cattail in our pond. It just sat there motionless for a short time. What a treat. Later, I met a friend at a local coffee shop. While sitting there talking and laughing, suddenly occurred to me that this was quality time, and it had nothing to do with being plugged into anything. After dinner tonight, I went out for a walk and stopped to talk with a neighbor down the block about all the new flowers I'd been enjoying in his yard. All of these activities enriched my day. I would have hated to miss any of them because I was sitting connected to my computer. I forget just like everyone else and sometimes lose track of the time I'm spending at my computer. It's not the way I want to spend my day, though. I would so much rather connect to people and to nature. The things that touch my heart are the things that bring me peace of mind. Technology serves many purposes for us all. It simplifies some of the tasks that we need to do for home and work on a daily basis. It helps us connect to those we love who are far away. It entertains us and often educates us. It brings the rest of the world a lot closer. The problem lies in putting too much of our time, energy, and thoughts into an unbalanced dependence on technology. Give it a try. Consider unplugging at least some portion of every day. You will notice a deeper sense of peace and a quieter mind. Your connections to the meaningful world around you will grow and flourish as you make time for them. I'm renewing my intention to spend more time unplugged. How about you? Until next time, Linda Menezes, a counselor in Santa Barbara, California. And I guess I wanted to read that to my wonderful homeopathic network out there, all the people who love health and love connecting through technology, because that really did touch my heart, and maybe I will also work on that intention. I wanted to also report about some activity on the network. There's so many things going on. Our Facebook Homeopathy World Community is now up to 1,952 members. Dr. Mohammed Rafiq has written a brand new blog called Beware of Mass Hysteria. I think it sounds like a good thing to start talking about, and how this mass suggestion and influence of others affects our lives and how that creates stress and illness within each of us. Dr. Namrata Rasikalal Bosamia has written What to Do When Aggravation Comes After Anti-Miasmatic Treatment. And there's a lot of discussion and replies and comments about how to care for this, how to manage a case. Also, our wonderful Dr. Wikwar Ali Khan is writing about health and medical science news. He is in Pakistan now with Dr. Safaraz Ahmed, and they're dealing with many people, helping them on a volunteer basis in their clinic. And so Dr. Wikwar has written an article about purifying water with sunlight, and water is going to be a major issue in the coming years, as we have less and less clean water for people to drink. Also, Dr. Safaraz has written a blog, Helping Poor People in Remote Areas, and I wanted to update people that the Pakistani Army soldiers evacuated people following fresh flood warnings in Mahar Village in Dadu District, Sindh Province, Pakistan today. The United Nations called on the August 24th for the governments to provide at least 40 heavy lift helicopters that can carry critical emergency supplies to some 800,000 Pakistanis trapped by floods. More than 17 million people have been affected by the floods, and 8 million of them require immediate life-saving aid. Pakistan has said that the floods have destroyed or damaged 1.2 million homes. More than 1 million people are living in tents, and at least 5 million others are in need of emergency shelter. So that is the news from the flood areas. There are many more articles going on, being talked about and put up on the network. There's one by Madhu Hazad about single remedies versus combination remedies. That's a hot topic. And our wonderful resident botanist, Dr. Dushyant, has written some more about plants and flowers. Trichosanthus dioica is one he did before about approving. And now he's putting up about Vinca rosea, which is a very well-known non-Hodgkin's and Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer remedy in traditional allopathic medicine. There's also a great big conversation going on in the veterinarians and animal lovers group about ponies that are eating moldy hay and how to deal with that. Ionica Schuler and Ignacio de Jesus Cabrera I hope I'm speaking their names properly, have been the lead people of the talking about that. And finally, there is a discussion, another one by Dr. Rafiq, called Same Remedy But Different Names, No More Confusion. And that one is also a very interesting topic. And the last bit of news is about, I wanted to let people know there's a new link on the front of HWC dealing with the avian influenza. It's a RSS feed about influenza outbreaks from the World Health Organization. And on August 31st, 2010, the Ministry of Health of Egypt has announced a new case of H5N1 avian influenza infection. And so you can click on that and read a little bit more about it. Now we're going to go ahead and finish up aphorism number 69. We read most of it yesterday, but I think it's worth and worthy of a second reading. And again, if anybody has anything to contribute, there will be the blog on HWC where you can post comments, or you can always call into the show live, or put a comment onto the live chat. Aphorism number 69 reads, in the antipathic palliative mode of treatment, however, precisely the reverse of this takes place. The medicinal symptom which the physician opposes to the disease symptom, for example, the insensibility and stupefaction caused by opium in its primary action to acute pain, is certainly not alien, not wholly allopathic to the latter. There is a manifest relation of the medicinal symptom to the disease symptom, but it is the reverse of what should be. It is here intended that the annihilation of the disease symptom shall be affected by an opposite medicinal symptom, which is nevertheless impossible. No doubt, the antipathically chosen medicine touches precisely the same disease point in the organism as the homeopathic medicine chosen on account of the similar affection it produces. But the former covers but lightly the opposite symptom of the disease only as an opposite and makes it unobservable to our life principle for a short time only, so that in the first period of the action of the antagonistic palliative, the vital force perceives nothing disagreeable from either of the two, neither from the disease symptom nor from the medicinal symptom, as they seem both to have mutually removed and dynamically neutralized one another, as it were, for example, the stupefying power of the opium does this to the pain. So here Hahnemann is explaining how allopathic, antipathic medicine is able to touch upon the disease state, to touch upon pain via opium is his example, that there is a relationship going on, that it appears to have annihilated and removed the pain, but this is only short-lived. It is only short-term. Because it was chosen as an opposite rather than homeopathically as a similar. And it is also only dealing with a few symptoms and not the totality of symptoms. Let's go on. In the first minutes, the vital force feels quite well and perceives neither the stupefaction of the opium nor the pain of the disease. But as the antagonistic medicinal symptom cannot, as in homeopathic treatment, occupy the place of the morbid derangement present in the organism, in the sensation of the life principle as a similar, stronger, artificial disease, and cannot therefore, like a homeopathic medicine, affect the vital force with a similar artificial disease, so as to be able to step into the place of the original natural morbid derangement. The palliative medicine must, as a thing totally differing from and the opposite of the disease derangement, leave the latter uneradicated. So here again, Hahnemann is explaining to us the means by which a homeopathic remedy, a homeopathic medicine, is able to work and clear the disease, the morbid derangement, from the living organism, because we know two of the same cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Therefore, the similar stronger will then occupy the place of the derangement of the disease in the living organism and remove it. Whereas the antipathic, the allopathic, is not going into taking that same place. It is in a different place, and therefore it is not going to wholly eradicate it. Hahnemann goes on, it renders it, as before said, by a semblance of dynamic neutralization, referring to a footnote here, at first unfelt by the vital force, but like every medicinal disease, it is soon spontaneously extinguished, and not only leaves the disease behind just as it was, but compels the vital force as it must, like all palliatives, be given in larger doses in order to effect the apparent removal, to produce an opposite condition to this palliative medicine, the reverse of the medicinal action. Consequently, the analog of the still present, undestroyed, natural morbid derangement, which is necessarily strengthened and increased, footnote, by this addition, reaction against the palliative produced by the vital force. So here he's saying that it is creating an oppositional force, not a similar force, and therefore the living organism is going to be pushing harder, fighting more against this crude antipathic agent. And so now it's actually adding on another layer. It's adding more work for the vital force to clear itself from this new derangement. And we go on. The disease symptom, this single part of the disease, consequently becomes worse after the term of the action of the palliative has expired. Worse in proportion to the magnitude of the dose of the palliative. Accordingly, to keep the same example, the larger dose of opium given to allay the pain, so much the more does the pain increase beyond its original intensity as soon as the opium has exhausted its action. So here we see that he does refer to this single part of the disease in parentheses. He's saying that the disease symptom, which was addressed by the antipathic medicinal dose, that particular part of the illness actually becomes worse. So sometimes when we use a nasal spray to open up congestion in our nasal passages, you're going to get that rebound effect. It's going to even swell up more. And this is something everyone who has taken it has experienced for themselves. So now we're going on to the footnotes. The first footnote is, in this the living human being, no permanent neutralization of contrary or antagonistic sensations can take place, as happens with substances of opposite qualities in the chemical laboratory, where, for instance, sulfuric acid and potash unite to form a perfectly different substance, a neutral salt, which is now no longer either acid or alkali, and is not decomposed even by heat. Such amalgamations and thorough combinations to form something permanently neutral and indifferent do not, as has been said, ever take place with respect to dynamic impressions of an antagonistic nature in our sensitive apparatus. Only a semblance of neutralization and mutual removal occurs in such cases at first, but the antagonistic sensations do not permanently remove one another. The tears of the mourner will be dried for but a short time by a laughable play. The jokes are, however, soon forgotten, and his tears then flow still more abundantly than before. So here, Hahnemann is taking us to an example that some people might want to relay to us regarding chemical compositions, where two opposites, an alkali and an acid, when combined, neutralize each other. And he gives the example, sulfuric acid and potash, that unite. So therefore, what he's telling us is that the vital force in the human being does not have this type of chemical reaction going on between an antipathic and antagonistic allopathic drug and the natural disease state, that those two are not going to neutralize each other, as in the example of a chemical reaction. They're not taking the same place. They're not forming together, forming something, a new amalgamation, a new, wholly new substance, a new combination that has different properties and becomes neutralized in only their, I would say, pH. And therefore, he provides us that example. And at the end of that footnote, he gives us an example of, on an emotional level, of how we cry tears, and we also laugh tears, but they're two different aspects that are not going to neutralize each other, at least in this example that he's providing us, that when you're in grief and you're in mourning, you have these tears that well up in you, and no amount of joking or laughter is going to erase that grief. Now we're going to go on to the next two footnotes in the last few minutes here. Plain as this proposition is, it has been misunderstood, and in opposition to it, some have asserted that the palliative in its secondary action, which would then be similar to the disease present, must be capable of curing just as well as homeopathic medicine does by its primary action. But they did not reflect that the secondary action is not a product of the medicine, but invariably of the antagonistically acting vital force of the organism. That, therefore, this secondary action resulting from the vital force on the employment of a palliative is a state similar to the symptoms of the disease which the palliative left uneradicated, and which the reaction of the vital force against the palliative consequently increased still more. So let's take a look at this footnote number 69 and where he is getting this. He's getting this off of in aphorism number 69, where he says, the reverse of the medicinal action, consequently the analog of the still present undestroyed natural morbid derangement, which is necessarily strengthened and increased by this addition, the reaction against the palliative produced by the vital force. So, Hahnemann is explaining to us what we had been reading in previous aphorisms, aphorism number 64, 65, and 66, the primary and secondary actions, the secondary being the counteraction, is the aspect of this reaction, and you see he's talking in terms of action and reaction, which is very much in our minds, this chemical reaction when two elements are meeting each other. And he's explaining that it is that secondary reaction is the vital force being stimulated and coming into play, and how the vital force is able to respond to the drug, respond to the medicine. How will it do that? If it is a similar, it's going to act in a positive way because it's going to work together. in line with what the body's natural disease state is going to do. But when you're using an allopathic antipathic drug, it is an oppositional force, and therefore this antagonistic palliative medicinal dose is going to cause the vital force to react in the secondary counter reaction by a stronger reaction against it. So here is what he said. That was in the secondary action. In acting against the vital forces acting against it, and therefore, at first you're going to feel the palliative reaction, the primary force, which touches the living organism. It appears to have left, but then you're going to get that reaction. So it's going to increase what you were feeling even more so, increase the pain, increase the congestion, increase the cramps if you're giving something that is antagonistic. And finally, the last footnote says, as when in a dark dungeon where the prisoner could with difficulty recognize objects close to him, alcohol is suddenly lighted. Everything is instantly illuminated in a most conciliatory manner to the unhappy wretch. But when it is extinguished, the brighter the flame was previously, the blacker is the night, which now envelops him and renders everything about him much more difficult to be seen than before, soon forgotten, and his tears then flow still more abundantly than before. And this one, I will leave it up to the listeners and those who are reading Hahnemann's Organon of Medicine to decipher what it is that Hahnemann is talking about when he gives an example of someone who is in a dark dungeon, someone who is a prisoner and who can barely recognize objects that are close to the person, and why he is providing this example of alcohol that is suddenly lighted. So I'm getting the feeling he's not talking about imbibing this alcohol. I'm thinking he's saying that there is going to be a flame, that there is going to be an illumination within that dark dungeon, and it is going to make the person be able to see. And he says, in a consolatory manner is what it says, to the unhappy wretch. But when the light is extinguished, the brighter the flame was, the more previously, the blacker is the night. So you can imagine the pupils of a person's eyes opening up and then shutting down even tighter. And if you've ever gone into a darkened theater, which I did recently do, when you walk in from a very bright light outside, I'd have to grope to feel the chairs to find out where to walk down the aisle. So that is our session for today. I hope it has been enlightening for all of the listeners, and we will be back again the next time. So everyone, take your Organon off the shelf and read it. And I'm wishing you to unplug and connect. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Bruck on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.